Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
Over the last several months, this morning, I am really excited with what initially went from being one mere message on Jesus Christ building his church through music, really just kind of morphed into this series throughout the month of November on this idea of giving thanks and really cultivating a heart of worship. And we tend to think about, we gather together at a church and we worship, and we look at that idea of worship being that first 15, maybe 20 minutes in some churches of music. And really, worship goes far beyond just music. And so we're going to start this series on gratitude in a little bit different of an idea. And so as I was sitting down over the last month or so thinking about music, and music can be a very difficult subject to present in a church. We've heard oftentimes this idea of worship wars or the war on worship, and you see the struggles of music in church over the last many years. I began to think through and look at scriptures and begin to ask God to lead me where he would have me to go in this building the church around music. And I just get getting farther and farther and farther away from that subject of music specifically, and landed just constantly on the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the witness of God, the theology that God has given us in the scriptures. And I just kept pulling back and back and back. And I just came to the conclusion that God was leading me this morning to talk about the fact again that God is building us in worship to him. And it's going to come in many different forms, but worship to him. And so look with me this morning in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read three verses, 15, 16, 17. And I want to challenge us that we can become very thankful to God for the investment that he has made into our lives. You see these words in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 15, and it says this, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ, dwell richly in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by the Father, in the Father by him." So, as much as I planned, you see that central verse there, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as much as I planned on starting with God building through music, I believe Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 17 help us to see how God not only uses music to build his church, but in that bigger view, how God is so saturated in the music, in the psalms and in the hymns and the songs that we sing, that it draws us up to this peak view of God and how he has interacted with our lives every single day. And so, just pulling back from this idea of music, I was reading a book, and it was titled Worship Matters. And I read this statement, and it just solidified in my mind. It was one of the first paragraphs in the very first chapter of this book, and just solidified my mind just to slow down and to think about God. Notice this statement from Bob Coughlin in the book Worship Matters. He says this, What's the greatest challenge you face as a worship leader? Notice what it says on the screen here. You might think it's deciding which songs to sing, getting along with your pastor, receiving feedback from church members, or leading a team of unorganized independent musicians. That's me right there, okay? I'll admit it. No. The greatest challenge is what you yourself bring to the platform each and every Sunday, your heart. Amen. And you know, the reality is, it doesn't matter who we are, where we're sitting, what we've done in the church this morning, we can all ask the same question: what am I bringing to worship? What is my heart bringing in to the local church? Now, I'm singing a song, I'm offbeat, I'm extremely frustrated, angry. Why? Because I've brought anger and frustration into the opportunity to worship God. I don't get anything. I just challenge us to think about our heart. So, do you ever do a heart check throughout your life? When something isn't going right or feeling right, have you ever checked your heart? Watches these days, specifically I have an Apple Watch. Watches these days have the ability built in them now to check and see if your heart is working right. It takes a moment. You pull away from some moment in your day, the busyness of the day. It challenges you to sit still, to breathe calmly and quiet what's going on. And then after just a few moments, it gives you the results. I would encourage you, as important as it is to physically check your physical heart, checking your heart spiritually is just as vitally important to our everyday life. Now, for me, for many years as a pastor, I've tried to find somewhere to pull away, to quiet, and to check my heart. When I was in British Columbia, I had a Jeep Wrangler, and it let me go a lot of places. And so for me, I loved going to a spot on a mountaintop and it overlooked some of the valley, or if I turned the Jeep the other way, there happened to be a lake on top of this mountain. And I mean, I could not get cell phone reception, nothing. I was apart, and it was always a place for me to go. I don't know, and probably the busyness of my life, I really haven't found anywhere yet. I do love to go down to the beach and the quiet and look over the lake. So far, that's been the best for me to pull apart and check my heart. But you think about what happens when you live in a place like we did in British Columbia, in Vancouver Island, Duncan, British Columbia. It was a small valley town, kind of much like Lake Havasu, but as my dad always says, just a bit different. It's like it, but different. And we always laugh when my dad says something like that, but it's much like that. You have this valley, and all around the valley is just a circle of mountains. And as you drive the valley, you know, the views are good. You know, you enjoy the where you're going. And really for us, it really was very picturesque and beautiful place to live. But what happens when you get so focused on the valley is all you see is what's right in front of you. The mountains are blocking the view around it. Now, what we love to do eventually living there is we love to go up to the mountain. And when you got on the mountaintop, you could look out over the valley and you saw all of the valley. The views were absolutely astonishing of the valley from the top of the mountain. And I wonder today, as we come to this idea of worshiping God, can I help us be brought up to the top of the mountain and just get a glimpse of God as he interacts with our life? So think about what we read from Paul in Colossians chapter 3. Right there, smack in the middle of those verses, he talks about that idea of teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, what happens, if I can say it this way, is that verse becomes our valley. We learn about the valley. We drive around the valley. We find our favorite places in the valley. And then we tend to go and we stay close to the things that we know and we like in the valley, right? That's just sometimes how we're wired. We just want to stay within that one valley view. But then we can take this step back. And I want to encourage you to take this step back with me and look around. Look around Colossians chapter 3 in the words that are developed for this heart of worship. Notice that Paul tells us that there is a God-given peace available to you. He tells us that the words of Christ are just rich with wisdom to live out your daily lives and to live within you. Then on the other side of this verse, teaching and admonishing, Paul shows us that we can and should be engaged in the daily work that God has given to us. We should speak words that would breathe life rather than death, all simply because God is interacting in our lives each and every day. And so you see the beauty when we just take a step back a little bit and you see how God is interacting in so many different ways on that mountaintop view rather than driving through that valley. Now, we ought to drive around the valley, so to speak, with a heart of thankfulness, singing praise, hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Now, as great as that is for most every one of us here, you and I have been to the summit of that mountain and we have seen God and His goodness in salvation that He has offered to us. But I want to encourage you, sometimes you've got to get back up to the mountain and see what God is doing in your lives so that you can just worship Him for who He is, for what He's doing in your life, in both the difficult and the good. To be able to worship Him when people are screaming and cussing and aggravated all around you, and when everything is just running smoothly. We need to learn to worship God at all times and to have that song in our heart of praise. And so I want to encourage you as we work our way up the mountain to see God's work in our lives, I want to encourage you with this first thought: a God-given heart transplant. This is just an extremely simple message for most all of us this morning. But for most anyone who talks about how much they hate or would not want to go hiking, it comes down to effort and exercise. Would you agree? Right? When you're talking about hiking up a mountain, the difficulty comes from effort and exercise. Now, I understand that there are medical reasons for some that they would never get out and hike a mountain, but for at least myself, when I got that bug, when I moved to British Columbia and I saw all those mountains and I wanted to start hiking them, for me, it was effort and exercise. My shape that I was in made it near impossible for me to enjoy hiking up a mountain. Now, the wake up for me came when I went on a trip to the Dominican Republic. We went over to the Dominican Republic. We had taken up gifts for Christmas and we flew over there. We took them. We interacted with the church that we were giving them to. Me and another gentleman from our church spent a week there. And during that week, we interacted a lot with the teenagers. And one of the wisest ideas that the missionary could come up with was to hike the mountain as a teen event in that city. And so we went for a hike up that mountain. I thought I'd be excited to be able to see the island there. And as soon as I got about halfway up the mountain, my head got light. My heart started to hurt. My mind was telling me that I was an idiot for ever thinking that this was a good idea. And I said, hey, listen, I'm just going to sit here on this rock. You guys can continue to go ahead. I'm done. I just can't make it any farther. I made it halfway up the mountain. The missionary made a call. He said, hey, we'll just stop. We'll go back down. And I really thought to myself, my physical state hindered everyone else from seeing what was at the top of the mountain. I missed out, but I also caused others to miss out as well. And so for far too many people in this world, they've gotten sick on sin. All the time in the valley, eating from the table of the world, has given them no desire to hike and find God. And if some do start, like me, they begin to realize that it's difficult, and they may make the statement, like many did in the New Testament, this is too hard to accept, and they give up halfway up the mountain. They like their sin. They like the state that they're in, and they want to stay there. Now, think about your story before Christ. Maybe if you're like me, you might say, sure, it was fun driving in the valley. Sure, there were some good views. Sure, you seemed to get a lot done in your daily life, but you were always in the valley. You saw the mountains. God even put in your heart to get to the top. But there was always some excuse to not put any effort into really finding out if God was worth all that he was talked about to seek after. Now, you've heard my story. I sought after hockey as a teenager. I ran after popularity. I filled my tank with the pleasures of the world. But life always seemed empty when that moment of fun was done. Now, today, I know that there is a large struggle in our world because so many people lack peace. But notice what Paul says here. Peace is from God. So you and I can be thankful that God at times would knock our knees, so to speak, out from underneath us and realize that we don't have peace. And he then introduces us to the peace that he offers. God knocked my knees out, so to speak, in the Dominican Republic, and I knew that things needed to change physically. I was embarrassed. I struggled. I knew physically I was unable to go any farther. But at 17 years old, God knocked my knees out spiritually, and I realized that I was striving after sin. Maybe you have that moment where you really recognize that sin was the absolute driver of your life, and God stopped you in your tracks and gave you a view of his love and grace and mercy. And he presented maybe that very familiar verse to many of us now, for God so loved the world. And maybe even somebody said, hey, why don't you put your name in there, for God so loved Rob, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him, if Rob would believe in him, and he arrested you there, and he began to change your focus of worship because he brought you out of that valley and he allowed you to see who he was. I'm thankful that God allowed me to mess my life up so bad in the moment that I would tell my parents I'm going to go away for the weekend just to get away from them. And God would arrest me with the truth of the Word of God at a youth conference. See, we often argue with God. God, why are you causing me to lose my job? God, why are you causing me to struggle in my family? God, why is my health not the best that it is? Have you ever stopped to do a heart check that God is trying to get your attention back on him? God desires for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. God desires for us to worship him with preeminence, our first place in who he is. And that starts with a God-given heart transplant. You and I will never worship God truly as he deserves to be worshiped if we first don't turn our lives over to him. And that comes from a wake-up call. I couldn't get to the mountain because of my heart and the lack of oxygen to my brain. I could not get to God because of my sin. There was nothing good in my life that I could do to get to God. So God came to me and he gave me a wake-up call. Flip back a couple chapters. And I honestly want you to see how radically this transplant is. Again, we understand things have to be extremely bad in a person's life when they are given a heart transplant. Their heart is taken out of their body, and a good heart is put in their life. How many of you know that that's a bad place to be in your life, right? All right. So notice what Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I mean, if there is nothing for us to walk out of this room with this morning, other than that idea that God has made a way for us to be reconciled to him, there's nothing else we need to be excited about going through our life. If you have not made that choice to be reconciled to God, today would be a great day to do that. See, God had radically changed the life of the Colossians through the gospel. I wonder if we have recognized how radically God has changed our lives from darkness, from being an enemy of God, from being alienated from God. You know, we can be thankful for that if we've made that decision to be reconciled to God. You just see how God was able to show you the bad of your valley that you were driving to and inviting you in to a different perspective of who God is and what he had done for you. Now, I'm thankful that when I got back to British Columbia from that trip in the Dominican, that I made that choice to change how I ate. I started to walk to work. I even started to run again. You and I will never desire to worship God for who he is if we don't make a conscious decision to be thankful for who he is. Now, I think I've said this before. It always astonished me. We were in a church. I was pastoring and found out a gentleman had a quadruple heart bypass surgery. And yet every single week of his life, he would go out to eat twice for some of the greasiest food I've ever seen. Now, that's impressive to stay in British Columbia because they like their healthy food. But I just thought to myself, you had a wake-up call to a heart problem, but you love greasy hamburgers so much you're not willing to give it up for your life, right? How many of us would admit, you know, I know that God is calling me to a radical heart transplant, but I just don't know that I want to give up that greasy hamburger. I just not ready for that. And maybe as you think about it, we'll talk about it in just a moment, maybe we find ourselves today having just enjoyed a greasy hamburger. We don't love the greasy hamburger, but we've gone after it a little bit here and there. We'll talk about that in just a second. But you think about this, that conscious decision. See, when was the last time you gave God thanks for the life that you're living? Now, I know it's not Christmas time yet, so we can't talk about white Christmas and how different this world would be if you weren't in it, but don't think you don't have a purpose in this world. When was the last time that you thanked God for some talent that you'd been given? See, there has to be some decisions that we make every day. At 17 years old, God gave me a heart transplant and helped me see my sin. And the fact is that he loved me in spite of that sin and was willing to drive me in a way to find him in a different place than I ever thought I would ever be. After about a year being home from the Dominican Republic, you know, I had made some of those changes and I thought I was good to go. I thought my health was in a lot better place. And so I had a family move to the area from Kenya, and the young boy needed to get to Vancouver for an immigration appointment. And so I agreed to take him. And I said, hey, while we're over there, why don't we go on a hike? They have a hike called the Grouse Grind. It's up the Grouse Mountain, one of the most difficult hikes in that area for so many. I thought it was good to go. I got halfway up that hike and I looked at that boy and I was thinking, I wonder if I can get a heart transplant from him. It was difficult. Now I made it to the top and I'm thankful that I was able to get there, but it was humbling. We had a backpack with snacks and drinks and stuff. And halfway up, I said, hey, buddy, you're going to have to carry this the rest of the way. I wasn't quite there, but you think about that transplant that God wants to do in our lives. We constantly have to be going back and having those heart checks. Think about how great God is to take anyone, a pious, religious, Christian-hating Jew, an adulterous woman, a leper, a fisherman, a tax collector, a Canadian, and change their heart for the glory of God. See, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul tells us there isn't a single person that deserved the opportunity to be pulled out of the valley, taken to that mountain to see who God is and what he has done for you. And yet God did it, and he desires to continually do it. Now, I want to encourage you as we think about worshiping God, that heart transplant is just the beginning. It's just the start of a new life in Christ. And so would you finish this idea out this morning with this second thought? And that's this, an extreme home makeover. I like to fool around with carpentry and other kinds of things. And many, many years ago, they had this TV show called The Extreme Home Makeover. It was absolutely incredible in my mind. But it was absolutely staggering to see what they did in what I think it was a 7-day period. They were given 7 days to build this house for people in very big needs, and they did it, and it was staggering when you looked at what they started with and what those people finished with. Now, for some of you who are older, you can begin to think back, here who's who I was when God met me. And here is what I see today, and it is an extreme home makeover as God has come to reside in my life. Maybe you're just starting your relationship with God, and that makeover is just starting to take place. But I want to encourage you, yes, that journey is going to be bumpy. One of the hosts would get on and they would talk about this problem with the building. They would talk about this hiccup that was happening. They would talk about this struggle that was going on. I want to encourage you, the valley's never not going to be bumpy. But those bumps are going to help us along the way. You think about some of the things that were taking place. I don't really have a problem with heights. I've never really had a problem with heights, but I was watching them do a building one time, and they were just way up there, strapped off with a strap, and I thought, wow, that looks terrifying. I want you to know, sometimes the valley's going to be scary. They showed some times when two or three guys were holding a wall and doing this adjustment, and it looked difficult. I want to encourage you, there's going to be times in this valley that are going to be tough. But man, when they brought that family back, they pulled that crowd away, and that family saw that house for the first time, and then they had the kids run through the house into their rooms, I want to encourage you, sometimes in the valley, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun what God allows you to do in the valley as he makes your life over. But man, when just before that, I'll skip that, just before that, they'd have this crowd on both sides of the road screaming and cheering and shouting as the car pulled up with the family. They'd be chanting the family's name. They'd be chanting some exciting words or something. It was exciting. I want you to understand that God's going to give you some moments of excitement as he makes over your life in him. God brought me off that mountaintop in the Dominican Republic and changed some things that I did in my life. God brought me off that mountain at that youth conference. And for me, that transformation was extreme and quick. For some of you, maybe that transformation has taken years and years. But I'm so thankful that God took up residence in my life. And I recognized that. And I began to get excited about who he was and who he is and what he was doing in my life and the word that he has given to me to be able to study and understand who he is and how to live my life and how to work that house correctly. You know, Christy and I have moved, unfortunately, way too many times in the 21 years we've been married. I lost count, and I meant to ask you. I think we're on something like 17 houses, 18 houses in 21 years of marriage. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But you know, one of the biggest frustrations about moving for me, as simple as it should be, trying to figure out the new temperature settings in every new house. It's different. You know, you got Nest now and all these kinds of things. And, you know, there's things that you just got to struggle to find out in that new house that you're given. But think about what God has been doing in your life and how he's helping you to recognize what he's calling you to. He's giving you instructions on how to live in that new house for his glory, that wisdom Paul talks about. He's giving you the wisdom to know how to live in that new life. I mentioned it. You know, I'm glad God's given me wisdom and extreme home makeover, in my opinion, in my life. I was a very angry teenager. And as I sat there on Friday and things were blowing up all around me, I just sat and thought, you know, and I don't know if it's because this message was already on my heart and mind, but I just thought, God, I'm so thankful that I don't want to pick up this 10-foot piece of steel and just beat somebody over the head right now. You know? I mean, we can all get there. But see, God gives us an ability to have a makeover. And just thank God. God, I'm thankful that I don't have to lose it anymore. You know, I can walk around the building now and go, man, that guy, he walked out and quit. He's done. He couldn't take it anymore. That guy's an instigator and just, you know, loves to cause problems. And this is not a knock on women at all, okay? But we hired a girl, this was her second day at work, and she said, I cannot believe the drama in this place. And I thought, how terrifying is it when a woman says that there is drama in this place? And, you know, I sat back at lunch and I just thought, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I can work in a very messy environment and just sing praise to your name. I'm thankful that I can live in a messy city and just know that you are directing my steps, my heart, and my mind, because it is messy. Our homes are messy. Our lives are messy. Our workplaces are messy. Sometimes it's that valley that all we can see, and if we're not careful, we can become so bombarded with just that narrow view, we miss what God is trying to develop in us as a heart of worship to who he is and how he develops, wants to develop in our life. Think about the physical change. You know, I was laughing with somebody when I started to really work through physical changes in my life. And I said, they asked me, what's the greatest thing about eating healthy and working out? I said, being able to bend over and tie my shoes. And they're like, what in the world? You know, you don't have to suck it in anymore. You can just bend over and tie them up. And, you know, I think about the change. You know, God's given me the ability to run a half marathon. God gave me the ability to be engaged in a Spartan race with my teenage son and finish not tired. And I've been able to do some things that I never want to be able to do. I want to encourage you, when you think about what God has done in your life, God has given you the ability to do some things you would have never been able to do in your own strength. He's been able to reconcile homes. He's been able to reconcile marriages. He's been able to reconcile attitudes. He's been able to change the direction of teenagers' hearts and minds. God is the one who has done that in our lives. God's the one that deserves the glory and the honor. So I want to encourage you as we close this morning, are you willing to do a heart check? Are you willing to be honest with God and said, hey, you know, I have honestly been stuck in the valley. I've been preoccupied with the valley. But God, if you give me a chance, I'd love to get up on the mountain. Love to take a look over and see what you've been trying to do in my life. There were moments in our...
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.